And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful what's going to happen. Apparently, we have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First in our Wednesday shows, we often jump into material that I've had the privilege to teach over the last 45 years of my faith and over 40-plus years of ministry. So today, we're going to discuss a portion from a book that I wrote called The Jewish Christian. This material primarily comes from the Word of God, but I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge the contributions of A.W. Tozer to this sharing. Okay? All right. I taught on this about a year ago, and I didn't want to teach it again so soon, but the Lord moved on me, and so I'm going to do it, just in case you're wondering. And I have no idea why, but I just do, just like you, the best that we can. We do our best, pray that it's blessed, and let Jesus take care of the rest, okay? I'm going to discuss what I have been calling in many times in my lifetime the highest call of God. The first principle we're going to discuss is being surrendered to the Lord. The next principle is to be broken before the Lord. And I just want to make sure you understand, you don't really appreciate these things until you come out of it. But when you come out of it, you're stronger and you're wiser and you're closer until you get broken again. That's so hilarious. Then, with these two principles, being yielded and broken, they lead to the most important concept and framework in Christian living. And I don't care what the theologians say. I'm not trying to be mean or arrogant or prideful. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God has communicated. And so it doesn't matter if the parents or siblings or spouses or children or grandchildren, great grandchildren, anybody else thinks of it. It's just important to know what the Lord has to say. And the Lord has to say, you and me in relationship, that's the key. And you might say, is that more important than ministry? And Jesus said, yes, it is. And we'll prove that specifically through the Word of God. So brace yourselves.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, and sometimes too many of them. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Just remember, it's not professional radio. It's barely radio. Just telling you. So we're going to ask you what you think in a minute. But I want to answer something that JD called in and asked about. He asked about the word Hamas and just if there's a biblical connection. I want to make sure I make this clear and don't let anybody misunderstand. The Hebrew word that's actually being referenced to, and I'm going to say it the way it is in Hebrew because that's the way it goes in the Bible, is Hamas. Hamas is how it's supposed to be sounding from Ezekiel 22:26. Hamas, Hamas. It means violence or wrong. It comes from her priests have done violence, Hamas, to my law. That's the biblical reference. You give me 1 minute, I can go to my sources and make sure. I did not know that prior. I am giving you that information now. Ezekiel 22:26. It does mean violence or wrong. Hamas, Hamas, and you got to do the, or it's really not legitimate. I'm just telling you that right now. Okay. Now, that little educational note, we'll move forward. If you want to reach out to us during the show, you can do that. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org. You can also text us live during the show, whether you're in San Diego or you're in Denver or you're in Dallas or Detroit, or if you're on the moon, although I'd like to see what that bill is. is for your wireless. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. 972-445-0770. I know it's a phone, but it probably won't bite you. 972-445-0770. When you make that call, by the way, boys and girls, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob. This happened just recently for me, I'm going to tell you. It's like waking up and feeling like you got a great night's sleep.
Aww.
Isn't that good?
That's a great feeling.
It is such a good feeling. It's like, and then you know what I got to say? So on the opposite side of that, if you wake up and you don't have a good night's sleep, you know.
Yep, you know immediately when you wake up.
You know, what happened? That wasn't good. What happened? I didn't get refreshed. What happened? My regeneration machine didn't work. Something's wrong. Anyway, talking to Jake, that's just like that. So how you doing today, by the way? You doing pretty good?
I'm doing well. Happy rainy Wednesday.
Happy rainy Wednesday. Four phone calls already in the first half hour. That's keeping you busy, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, that's good.
Phones started to smoke, that fourth call.
It's rolling.
Wearing it out.
So there's a couple things to tell you with. I changed my mind on something I told you I wasn't going to do. So here it is. So what's the reason for calling? You can share a praise report. Why? Because it's good to share a praise report. You know, something that God has done in your life could be just the thing that somebody else needs to hear that they're going through in their life. And what we do, and I'm just going to, you know, try and be honest about it, is we, oh, yeah, the Lord did this. It's so cool. And then we keep it to ourselves. When the Lord did it for us so that we can share it, it reinforces our own faith when we share it. It blesses other people, and it honors God. You're thinking, well, that's kind of like a manipulative way to say that you should, like, people should give praise. Right. Yep. I was born and raised Jewish. What did you expect? That's right. But you should be doing it. And if it's not for a praise report, it could be for a prayer request. Let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to help us. We petition the Lord, seek his help, get his guidance, have his wisdoms, have his insight, have his protections, have his peace. Do you need more love? Do you need more joy? Do you need more peace? Well, guess who has all of that? By the way, that's the first three of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which should tell you something right there. And so we do that. We do history. We do jokes, although I be it there. Sometimes not that funny. They're still jokes. We're giving away a book. We have Pastor Robert Morris's book, Grace Period. We're giving away one more book. You think, well, I don't know if I don't want somebody else to get it. It could be for you. I don't know that. You're welcome to call. Living in the amazing reality of Jesus's finished work. That's the book. It's called Grace Period. Period. How nice is that? Plus, we're going to do Bible trivia. What kind of Bible trivia? This kind of Bible trivia. You guys better get this. That's all I'm going to say. Who wrote the most books in the New Testament? Was it Luke, Paul, or John? Who wrote the lion's share? And yes, the answer is ultimately the Lord. Okay, so don't do that. Who wrote the most books? Count them. Even if you did it by length, it would still be accurate. Who wrote the most books? Is it Luke, Paul, or John? That's the question. If you think you know the answer, reach out to us. Give us ohala. Holla, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. It's not a tough question, but it does require us to know, not of the Bible, but to know the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. You want to know what God has to say? Well, the Bible is called the Word of God. That's the connection right there. Who wrote the most books in the New Testament? Luke, Paul, or John? Somebody is on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Gary. You sound a little better today than you did yesterday. I was a little concerned for you. How are you feeling? Any better or about the same?
Well, maybe a little better. I have faith that I'm going to get a lot better.
That's it, brother. That's it. And you know, that faith is like stepping out of the boat for Peter. That is exactly what you're doing. You're just taking a step out going, you tell me it's water, here I go. Right? All right, let's do this first, and then we'll pray over you and ask the Lord to bless you and give you even more. Here's straightforward. Who wrote the most books in the New Testament? Was it Luke, Paul, or John?
It was Paul.
That is correct, Ramundo! No, the other two did write quite a bit. So, I mean, John quite a bit and Luke quite a bit, for Luke being Luke and Acts, and John for the Gospel of Revelation and his three epistles as well. That's a lot of material between the three of them. That's accurate. But Pauly wins that one. And that's, I want to say, Aunt Deb said Pauly. I was just waiting for a parrot joke to come right after that. Let me pray over you. Just believing God will give you all that you need and more. So let's pray unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we ask you for Gary and for his health. Lord, he does sound a little better, but not good enough. That doesn't mean we're not appreciative. We just want more of you in his life. We want more of your anointing. We want more of your power, more of your presence, more of your spirit in him. In every part of his body, we need the healing power that comes from you, that's offered in the name of Jesus, that's representative and available through the stripes and the wounds that were laid upon Jesus Christ. You teach us that in your book, in 1 Peter 2:24. We know it's what you say. We know you're Jehovah Rapha. We just want to see it. We want to see it in Gary's life. We want to rejoice with him. And not just that, Lord, we do pray that. That's our biggest prayer. But we're also praying that you make his circumstances not as difficult. Things could be smoother, simpler, easier, not complex, not so challenging, a little softer, a little less edged. And we're asking you to pour it out into his life and bless him. He's our brother, and we love him, and we ask you to bless our brother in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I've been praying for all of you. I'll continue to pray for you, and God bless you.
God bless you too, brother. Bye-bye. All right. We are going to do our DNA, and people are like, well, what else are you going to do? I'm doing DNA. I'm doing DNA. I'm going to give you an update. Also, let me give you a quick update on Julianne. I talked to her. Easton is doing better, which, if you want to talk about a miracle, in March they thought he was going to be going to see the Lord directly. Right? When I get a call from my daughter and she's crying, I know. Right? He's doing better. In fact, Julianne said in the last month, because I know you guys are praying for him, he's been making more noises, and she's pretty confident that he's even laughed at a couple things. But Julianne, when this first happened, she was just hoping he would smile one day. And Jared and Julianne are confident that that he has laughed. And just so you can know how deep Julianne is in this process, she is having a testimony before the FDA on a medicine for people like Easton to share why they need to be willing to try some experimentals. It's just like, my daughter is, forward we go. If you're in the way, you'll get cut by the blade. Just that's how she is. It's like, okay, got it. And she's on that level and on that par. So just keep praying for her. I just think that's a great testimony. We talked last night. And then their new baby, Anna Banana. We call her Anna. Her name is Anna, but we call her Anna Banana. She is just full of laughter and energy. It's just hilarious. So the kids are doing pretty well right now. I'm really blessed by that. So keep praying for them. In the meantime, let's do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
So if you haven't spent time separated with God today, you still have, what is it, San Diego, it's 12:14. And in Denver, it's 1:14. In Dallas, it's 2:14. In Detroit, it's 3:14. You still got several hours to spend some time with the Lord. How much time? I don't care. Just spend some time with the Lord by yourself. Back into the closet where nobody can distract you or disturb you. Get it? Okay. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. Luke 9:26. If you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I return in glory with the Father. It's like, no, no, no. And then A, always be ready.
T, To serve.
To serve. So we are on guard, ready. Ready if the Lord wants to use us to smile, pray, anything. Write an email, write a letter, do a good deed, bring in the trash for somebody, help somebody with groceries, whatever the case may be. We're just ready to be used by the Lord. It's so great to be in a partnership with God. It's the most adventurous part of life. You know, the most exciting thing is not paying rent. The most exciting thing is not paying your mortgage. The most exciting thing is partnering with God. That's why you want to always be ready. So D, draw closer to the Lord and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. We're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready. What are we getting ready for? Our next trivia question. I hope you guys are ready for this. We have another trivia question. It's going to be another Bible question. You can count on that. Here we go. How many books of the Bible did Timothy write? That's all I'm giving you. How many books of the Bible did Timothy write? Wow. What kind of question is that, Dave? How many books of the Bible did Timothy write? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Simple, straightforward question, a little goofy. How many books of the Bible did Timothy write? That's your question. Let's see if you can get the answer. How many did Timothy write? That's what's laid out before you. We'll just leave it right there. In the meantime, I just want to make sure everybody knows, if you have a prayer request, you can always go to the website. If you have a praise report, you can go to the website. Let me open this up by reading something that a lot of people... love to read and love to read right by it. Is that a nice way to say it? John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. What? Yeah. You see, here's something about the Christian faith that you learn as you grow in the Lord. Okay? This is what you learn. You learn that you becoming like Jesus is a process. Let me explain this. Positionally, you are righteous and right. But practically, you are being made to look like Jesus, as 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 say, glory by glory and step by step. So there's times where you move forward, and then the Lord, as you are grooming and fruiting, cuts you back just a little so you can groom and fruit a little better. And we're going to get into that, and specifically what realm that is, in a moment. But we do have somebody on the phone that wants to answer their trivia question, and we want to give them that opportunity. So let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. Dr. David, this is Joanne.
Hi.
I'm so eager to answer that trivia.
Oh, you are. That's good, Joanne. Yeah. That's good. All right, let me ask it, and then you can answer the question. Here we go.
Okay.
How many books of the Bible did Timothy write?
Well, Timothy wrote as many books in the New Testament as Hezekiah did in the Old.
That is a great answer, and that answer would be the number?
None! Zero!
Timothy didn't write anything! That was a trick question!
Paul the Apostle wrote two letters to Timothy.
Correct.
First and Second Timothy.
Right,
yeah, so
that's right.
I even pulled off the rainy highway to answer that trivia question, Dr. Spoon. Yay! I'm loving the show.
That is a classic. It's a classic. It's like, how many did Timothy write? Yeah. Nothing. He didn't write anything. It's like, how many did Hezekiah write? He didn't write anything. Although, I'm telling you, I've done it in church. You should see the people whipping through the Old Testament looking for the book of Hezekiah.
I know. It's so funny.
It's just too funny.
Hey, could you pray for me for some before I get back on this rainy highway? I'm heading to Heath for a medical appointment.
Yep.
But
yep.
Even more important than my medical appointment is I have an 11 a.m. legal meeting tomorrow morning. I need favor and wisdom and, insight. And it's a big meeting. And legal things are expensive, so I want to use that time well.
Okay, let's pray. Let's pray for three things.
Thank you.
Safety, the doctor, and the legal. Let's pray for it.
Amen. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Father, we come before you right now. We just thank you so much for our sisters, and they're just wonderful. Joanne is just such a delight. Cordelia is such a blessing. We just thank you for the people that are in their lives that they've touched and that are touching them. Now, Lord, they're on the road, and traffic is so with that, Lord, we need a little bit of help. We're not trying to, you know, tell you not to drop the rain. We love the rain, Lord. We just need safety in that process. And we just pray that the angels would drive along with her on the front of the car and the back of the car and the sides of the car, and everything would be fine and dandy from that point of view. She also has a doctor's appointment, Lord. We want that to go well. Let there be good news that comes from that process. Even if it's just simply checking up or checking into something, that it would be great things to hear. But the big one, Lord, has to do with tomorrow. And we know you are more aware than anybody, more than Joanne, more than anybody, more than any lawyer, any judge, anything. You know every nuance. You're the only one who could judge perfectly, because you're the only one that holds all knowledge within yourself. And so we ask you, Lord, as you are just and you are fair and righteous and true, and you're merciful and gracious and kind, that you would protect our sister, and that let the right things be done, the right things be said, the right declarations made, and that it would be in your, Lord, declaration, the kingdom glory moment. We ask that your name would be honored, that you would be blessed, that your daughter would rejoice, and that people would know there is a God who controls the universe, and you sit on the throne. That's what we ask for. We ask that you would bless the situation, bless them with comfort, peace, and confidence. We ask this in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Amen, Dr. David. Oh, I received that, and I'll keep you updated. I love you all so much, and praying for everybody. I sure love hearing from Ace and all the callers in that first half hour. It was so fun.
It's awesome.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
All right.
I will. I'll keep you updated. Bless you.
Thank you.
Beautiful prayer. Thank you. Thanks.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right. Now, I'm going to go back. I got about 3-4 minutes before we have to break. I know you're thinking, well, you can just keep going. I'm tired. We're moving. I don't know if you know what's going on or not. We're relocating. I'm just dealing with so many things at one time. I'm like going. Bleh, 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 bleh.
It's a very busy month for you.
It's a very, it's a great way to say it. It's a very, 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 very busy month. Okay, so let's go back to this. I want to make sure you understand something about the Christian faith and your walk in particular, okay? I'm not telling you how your walk is going to go. I'm just telling you what the Lord has told us through the Word. One thing we know from Ecclesiastes is that there's no way to escape if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and that is we go through seasons, right? Not every season lasts forever. That's why they're seasons, okay? So I want to make sure everybody knows that. Some seasons you go through, they're just marvelous, right? You just like the favor of the Lord, the graciousness of the Lord, everything's going really good. There's other seasons where you're more challenged and you have to kind of fight your way through. There are two things the Lord is doing in your life, and they're never going to change between now and the time he calls you home. It might be that we get called home corporately. That's what we all hope. That's what we all want. We want that ASAP, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. I mean, that's what the scripture says. Come, Lord Jesus. We want you to come, Lord. But in the meantime, while you're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, while the proclamation of your position is on one hand, the manifestation of that proclamation is on the other hand. That's what they call sanctification. Justification is your position. Sanctification is your process. Glorification is your destiny. Let's understand what's going on. The Lord trims, or he cuts back, or he prunes, for those people who are into gardening, any growth that's taking place so that there can be more growth. And you're thinking, well, why not just let it grow out? And the answer is, God is a better gardener than you and I. That's the answer. And so when we look at this and we look at the Lord doing pruning, one of the things that takes place is the Lord does not, and I'm going to say this with every ferocious element in me, does not put up with any other gods in your heart? The answer is no. Go to the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Go to what Jesus had to say about the summation of the law in Matthew 22. Go and look at all those things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. What is that? The first commandment. What does that mean? He's first. You're not first. Wait. Your spouse isn't first. Your parents aren't first. Your children aren't first. Your friends aren't first. God is first. And anytime we have anything in our heart that stands between us and God, that becomes our God. and it's not okay. When Abraham tried that, it was simple from God's point of view. Sacrifice your son. He's gaining a little too much in the emotional content position of your life. That was a test, by the way. Was it for God? No. It was for Abraham. To Abraham to keep it where he needs to keep it. What does that mean? No other gods, no other shrines, nothing. And if you don't yield to that, the Lord will make you sacrifice it. Get it? That's one thing. Here's the other thing. This one, I feel in my heart, this is brutal, right? I mean, I'm just telling you how I feel about it, right? Here's the other part of this. Okay. King David says in Psalm 31:12, I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. You ever heard the expression that he's the potter, you're the clay, and he'll mold you the way he wants to, referencing Jeremiah? Here's David saying, I'm the broken pottery. What's that mean? That means that there's times where God not only will challenge you and make you sacrifice, the Lord will actually break you. You're thinking, no. He would never break me. You are so wrong. I mean, it's even cute that you would say that. The Lord, who is the potter, will take the piece of clay and break it so he can mold it the way he wants to, as many times as is necessary, as he deems fit, as he is the potter. Is that up to you? Nope. Didn't you say, I want to follow you? I know you said it. I want to be like you, Jesus. Okay. So the two things I want you to keep in mind as we're going to take our break and come back into this is, no matter what happens, no matter what you say to me, and I am I believe God answers prayer. I believe God's for us. I believe he grants us success. But never forget these principles. Being yielded so there is nothing else between you and God, and being broken so you can be moldable. That is without exception. Do you understand? All right. We are going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Isaiah chapter 63, verse 8 through 9 says this. He said, surely they are my people. Sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed. So I want to make sure you understand, we've talked about this before, you've heard some of my testimony. If you want to really get a better handle on my testimony, I'll shamelessly plug the Broken for His Glory book, which contains the testimony, but you can get it for free if you do it through Kindle, and then otherwise it's like $7 or something. Oh, that's not very much. It's a kind of a fascinating journey on becoming saved and then going through bad churches or a bad church and then coming back into good church. Right? That's not always easy to do. One of the big premises of the book and of my entire Christian journey is a passage like this, which says, he said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. And in all their distress, he too was distressed. I think it's important for you and I to understand the level to which God has put himself or placed himself. He's not incomplete without us in the theological term that God can exist completely independently and doesn't need us, but he bears with us or connects to us in such a way that he feels with us. And so I think it's important for you and I to grasp that when Paul was on the road to Damascus, and then the Lord appears to him, right? And we've talked about this before, knocks him off his donkey and blinds him, okay? Now you just have to imagine you're on a donkey, bam-o, you're on the ground, okay? Okay, not on a comfy table or a comfy chair or a comfy bed, on the ground, and you're blind. So this is a real wake-up call. And then Jesus says to him, Saul, before he becomes Paul, you know, why are you persecuting me? And what does Saul say? He says, who are you? Right? Because this is like, you know, this is, you know, outer limits stuff right here. And then Jesus goes, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But the irony behind that is that Jesus made the identification with the church because Saul was persecuting the church. But Jesus goes, I'm the one you're persecuting. Now see how he connects himself to the people. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where we're getting ready to do another trivia question. But before we do, we have somebody else that's on the line. Hey, it's a nice day of phone calls. We like it. So let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Charles Edwards for the second time.
Hi.
I called you about a few weeks back.
How you doing, Charles?
Oh, pretty good. I was listening to that, what you said on, about putting God first, you know, and a lot of times it seemed like that happened to me where, you know, you slip up and you put other priorities first and then you have to repent of those things. You know, that was a good talk what you did there.
Well, I appreciate that. That's nice of you to say. It's so true, though, isn't it? Like we want it. We're focusing in, and then something happens, and it's kind of like we take our attention off, and then you realize, oh, wait, I was heading that way. Now I'm heading this. Is that what that happens to me all the time? Does that happen to you?
Well, I had a truck that my wife was, you know, hounding me about that, you know, I was being too obsessive about it and this and that, and I ended up selling it off as a show truck. And then my Harley Davidson, you know, that got to thinking, and I'm out there trying to keep up the chrome all the time and doing this and that, and so I gave that away to my son after putting thousands of dollars in it. So, you know, I don't want those things in my life, really, if it's going to be an idol and stuff. But even though I've got a few nice things, I don't want to make those idols either.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And that's so good that you said it that way. That's a great example. We don't realize that sometimes we put a lot of time and energy and effort into some of these things around us. And for some people, and I want to say this because I want to say it right, some people it's an object, some people it's a philosophy, some people it's this, that, whatever. It's like, look, it has to be the Lord. And if it's not the Lord, he's going to get you there because you said yes, and he said okay. And that was it.
Yeah.
And that was like, okie dokie.
I just want to say, too, when I called the first time, I was telling you about the deliverance thing, and that I didn't really believe too much in that. I didn't think I believed in it, but I'm wrong about that because I did have a testimony years past, you know, where a lot of stuff that I was in bondage with, you know, going, I was casting out demons and things, and they've never really come back, so. You know, so it is true. Because I was just looking at something on the radio or on the internet, and it was somebody was saying, well, how you can't have a demon or this or that. So, you know, I just want to correct that.
All right. And that's so nice of you to do that.
I felt convicted of that after I said that. So.
And here's the thing, and this is, I know that I'm saying part of this in jest, so I don't want you to take it any way, but somewhat in a jest. But it's kind of like when I have a medical condition, I go on the internet, and then I become a doctor. It's like that's a bad idea.
Right? I know. It's like, I gotta say
it's like go to the doctor and then use the Bible, and then, you see what I'm saying?
Because there is incidents in the Bible where, you know, demons cast out and stuff like that. But anyways, I don't want to take up too much of your time great show.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. What a blessing of your call. I really do appreciate it. I want you to know that.
Okay. Well, you have a blessed day.
All right. You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right. See, this show is just, it's just not fun. I left you all over the place, but it's like, you know. And then I'm sitting there fighting with God. Now, I'm just telling everybody this because I try to confess all these things. I'm fighting with God about doing what I'm going to teach on. And look how that helped people. It's just like.
I'm just loving the great phone calls. I mean, everyone's keeping me busy. Phone calls have been great.
Yeah, it's just flying by. All right, let me go. Well, first, we got a trivia question. So we do have our trivia question. Now, you guys should get this. And if you don't know this, it's okay. I mean, it's not, when you don't know a trivia question, that's the time to learn. That's the time to take it in and go, oh, I gotta get that. So there are 66 books in the Bible. There's 39 in the Old Testament, and there's 27 in the New Testament. Which book in the Bible, by the way, it's in the Old Testament, does not use the word God in the book? What? Yeah. Is that Esther, Ruth, or Amos? The word God is not in the book. Esther, Ruth, or Amos? The word God is not in the book. What? Is that true? It is true. In one of those three books. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972, and again, the phone won't hurt you. 972-445-0770. You know, so text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So I am going to send you up to the website because we do that. And what we do on the website is we say, check it out. So there's 4,500 hours, telling my daughter yesterday. She goes, I'm really just starting getting into podcasts, Dad, right? So, you know, everybody has a season, like I was saying. Well, I said, oh, well, there's 4,500 hours of them. I said, let me know. And but in the meantime, so there's a lot of access there. There's a place for praise reports and prayer requests that nobody gets your information. Nothing weird happens. Also, there's information on the new book. The book is called The Faith That Pleases God. The whole idea behind the book, and I'm telling you right now, I make a dollar a book, $1.04 or $1.03. I can't remember which one it is. But here it is. In a nutshell, it's to encourage your faith because faith pleases God. Okay, that's what the book's about. And there's also a place to give. We encourage that. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. You won't get a whistle or a Lamborghini, but you will get a receipt at the end of the year from us. That's and a big, big, big thank you. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemusincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemusincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Mananachu. Goopa noopa. Goopa noopa. Manatoto. Michi Michu.
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. I'm just waiting for like a little, like, you know, for Yoda to come out and sneeze or something.
That's one of the few that plays where I'm just like, yeah, I got nothing.
I don't know what you're doing. What is that? We'll have to ask Jennifer again. All right. Somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Don.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Well, I'm making cookies.
Every third time I talk to you, you're making cookies.
Well, you know, I bake for our Bible study at church. And, man, it's becoming more work than I thought. Anyway, it's fun.
All right, my brother, are you ready?
And I'm going to bring you some of these one of these days. I'm going to try to take a week off at church. So, I mean, you know, not a week off baking at church.
I gotcha. I gotcha. All right, my friend. All right, here we go. I'll set it up for you. In which book of the Bible is God not mentioned? Is it Esther, Ruth, or Amos? Which one?
Well...
Say it. Wait, you're breaking up. Say it again.
Well, there's an emergency going on.
Okay.
I think it's Ruth.
Okay. And if it wasn't Ruth, what would you think it would be?
Esther.
That is correct, Emilio!
It's going to be Esther, Ruth, I said, okay, I'm going to go with Ruth first.
That's all right.
All right, brother.
You did a great job. Don't forget our cookies.
I tried, brother. Okay. I was pretty close. I mean, I knew. I said, you know, I think it's Ruth or Esther. I know for sure. Oh, well.
It was a 50-50. That was good, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Lord bless you, brother.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Let me do a couple minutes on this, and then we'll get to the – I don't know what we're getting to, but let me just do a couple minutes on this. So we were just talking about being broken and then being yielded, these two elements. So I want you to understand something, though, that the Lord, he there's things that he allows in your life, and I want you to understand this from a New Testament point of view. And in Romans is really your place where there's like no escape, okay? And I'm saying this in the nice, super nice, supportive way. Romans 9, 20, 21, it says this, but who are you, human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right, this is verse 21 in Romans 9, does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some pottery for common uses? It's a nice way to say God's in charge. He knows what it takes for you. Sometimes it's really challenging, but God's in charge, and you always go back to the same place. And I want you to understand how important it is to the Lord that you are passionately connected to him so that nothing else kind of gets in the way or interferes. So I'm going to read this portion. I can comment all day long, but I just want to read this. Just let me read it, and then we'll exit and come back. This is Philippians 3, 4 through 9. If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and consider them rubbish, that I may be found or gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which but that which comes through faith in Christ, a righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul had all of these phenomenal accomplishments, and he considered them rubbish. That is not the Greek word. The Greek word is dung. You can change it all you want. People tried to be nice. That's fine. Everything else is garbage compared to knowing Christ. Do you know how that, what that does? That puts a different mindset on being yielded and being broken, because everything else isn't going with you into eternity the way your relationship with Jesus is. Ouch! Taking a short break, then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
My next guest has been on the show before with a prior book. I'm very excited to talk to him about this book. I've seen a couple of the interviews that he's done. And this book is a great apologetic book on Christology. And I'm hoping that people will really enjoy this. First and foremost, let's welcome back to our show
David Limbaugh. David, how are you doing, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Excellent book, by the way. Big props for writing
Thank
The True
you.
Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. I know they give me a list, and I know you know they give a list for us to ask questions, but if you remember from the last time you were on the show, I rarely look at that list.
So, no, that's good. That's
yeah, because I like to get from you as the author, you know, kind of where it was going and what you were thinking. So let's just talk about at the core level, you know, for the purpose of writing this book, what was the big goal you were trying to accomplish in writing The True Jesus?
Well, I started out, I wanted to write a primer, a survey, an introduction to the New Testament. And as I got into it, I realized that I could not cover it adequately with sufficient depth. So I asked the publisher, Gregory, if I could narrow the focus to just the Gospels, because the Gospels are where you see the living Son of God and you encounter him. And you sit at his feet and hear his teachings and you watch him and you observe his behavior and his authoritative teaching and his empathy for human beings. And you see his declaration of divinity. And why he led the Jewish authorities to want to crucify him, because he was, in fact, claiming to be God, because he is God. And so I want his divinity and his full humanity to jump off the pages of my book. And the book is a compendium of the four Gospels in a consolidated account, not attempting to be a harmony, which you can't totally do. And in roughly chronological form, the ultimate goal, and with a running commentary, the ultimate goal is I want to inspire people to read the Gospels and the Bible for themselves.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Now, you really what's funny about this is this was my devotions this morning. Was it David, Ecclesia, Solomon, or Jeremiah? Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Was it David, Ecclesia, Solomon, or Jeremiah? If you think you know the answer, by the way, you can call 972-445-0770. So who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Is it David, Ecclesia, Solomon, or Jeremiah? 972-445-0770. You got to make the call and give the answer. Just that simple. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Is it David, Ecclesia? Okay, skip the Ecclesia one. That means church. Okay, it's just so you can know. So just move that over. David, Solomon, or Jeremiah? That'll make it easier. Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? David, Solomon, or Jeremiah? 972-445-0770. 214-210-8483 is the text. And then david@hemusincrease.org. We only got 3.5 minutes. You're going to answer that. I'll have to have Jacob help me if I forget, because I just have this little bit left, so we're going to skip the jokes and the history because we just don't have time, because that's how it goes today. And so what? That's all right. All right? Here's the one thing I want you to know about that relationship being the priority. Okay? We're talking about that, talking about being yielded and being broken. And remember, God is the potter. You are the clay. And we're talking about being yielded and being broken. Now, one of the things I want to do is I want to drop this in your lap because it's so important. Paul just got done saying, I did all these great religious accomplishments, phenomenal, great. It means nothing compared to just knowing Jesus, right? When Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. Blessed are you to know Jesus. That's pretty cool, right? But I just want you to see how far it goes, all right? Luke 10:38-42, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where there was a woman named Martha who opened her home to him.
She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that the preparations that have to be made, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered. And again, I contend it probably went, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." What is a minister? A servant. What does a servant do? Serves. Okay. A minister, a servant, they serve. Martha was serving. And she's like, "Jesus, tell Mary to help me serve." And Jesus said, "Nope. She is sitting at my feet. She's listening to what I have to say." That, Jesus said, is better. "No, Dave, no, no. It has to be all the ministry." Nope. Sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, for the trivia, I'm just going to answer real quickly. Your trivia question was, who wrote Ecclesiastes? Your answer is Solomon. Solomon. Okay? But I want to hammer this point home. In Philippians 1:21, Paul said, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." What do you mean, Paul? You should say to live is write epistles and do ministry. To live is Christ. To sit at Jesus' feet is better. You are being yielded and being broken by God for the best call you could ever imagine. To have an active, growing relationship with the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Talk to you in 22 and a half hours.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.